Happy Halloween, everybody. Coming up next, Hands on Mac, The Road to Big Sur, Part 4. Hands on Mac comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Now, you're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Whether employees are working in the office or remotely, visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Mac is brought to you by Peak Design. Peak Design has just launched their 10th campaign on Kickstarter. It's called Mobile by Peak Design. To learn more, go to peakdesign.com/twit. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hands on Macintosh. Happy Halloween. You see my costume. It's very good. a couple of caveats as we continue our road to Big Sur. This is episode 4 in the series. I don't know when Big Sur is going to come out. We're recording this a couple of weeks, October 17th, so it's a couple of weeks before November. My best guess is we're about a month before Big Sur comes out. I predict around November 17th. Nevertheless, this road to Big Sur is a process you're going to want to go through before you do the upgrade. Second caveat on this one, I am going to do a clean install. I like the idea of doing a clean install every once in a while with an operating system. It gets rid of all the old applications you've got installed. It gives you a fresh start. Actually, Macintosh does a very good job with its system installs. It takes your old system folder, your system files, puts them in the old system folder. In effect, gives you a clean system folder, a new system folder, yet tries to preserve your settings and your applications. You know, that's fine. Most of the time, and I just do that, and it works quite well. But every once in a while, I want to do a clean install. That is, wipe my drive and start over. And that's what this whole road to Big Sur has been about. Big Sur is a good time to do it. We're making a jump. It's now Mac OS 11. This is going to be support for Apple Silicon. The file system, APFS, is again a little bit more progress made with that. There's some pretty big changes. It is not one of the biggest operating system updates, but still, I think a good kind of place to plant your flag and say, okay, I want to do a clean install right now. Regardless, these are things you're going to want to do before you install, like last week's episode where you back up. Absolutely very important before you do a operating system install to make a complete backup of your system. And also, it's a time to take stock and think a little bit about what's on your system and what you want to keep as we go into Mac OS 11. And that's what this episode is all about, taking inventory, figuring out what we've got on our system. Now, I'm going to rely on some techniques that we've covered in previous Hands on Macs. So if you didn't watch our episode on getting to know your terminal, episode 4, you might want to watch that. I'm going to use Homebrew. So watch our Homebrew episode. I think that was episode 8. Watch our Homebrew bundle episode. That's the following episode where we talk about using a Homebrew bundle and creating a brew file. We're going to be able to use those techniques as part of our inventory taking this week. We'd like to have, as after this is all done today, a list of everything that we have installed in our Macintosh, all the configuration files and system settings, so that we can kind of recreate our Mac when we do the install of Big Sur, the clean install. Remember, we're wiping the drive, so we are going to need to recreate everything. It's also a good chance to think about which of the applications you have installed right now you don't want to reinstall. There's probably a lot of stuff on your system you've installed over time that you don't use anymore. Maybe system extensions, menu items, even just applications that just take up space, add complexity, maybe even add some potential problems with compatibility. So this is a chance to start clean. That's why we do the clean install. The first thing we're going to do, if you watched our brew segment, our brew file segment, we talked about a really nice command line utility called MAS. That stands for Macintosh Application Store. It's a command line interface to the App Store. We're going to use MAS to update everything from the App Store we've installed. And we're also going to use MAS to make a list of all the apps we've installed from the App Store. We can actually use it when we have our new clean disk. We can use a simple one-liner to update everything and install everything from the App Store that's not been installed. But you want to make sure you're installing the latest versions of everything. So let's use Moss first to make a list of everything we've got, to update everything we've got. In fact, this is a great time to, if you haven't done your Brew update in a while, to do Brew update and update all your command line utilities. We want everything to be on the latest version, especially before we go to Big Sur, because presumably many of those applications will have had updates. Next week, I'm going to talk about why you won't want to update Big Sur the day it comes out. Give it a week or two. And this is one of the reasons. Let developers put out updates, fix their software, stuff that doesn't work with Big Sur. Give them some time to do that. Then update your Catalina Mac. Make sure it's got all the latest versions. So our Big Sur installation will have fewer problems that way. So use Mas, M-A-S, to update your App Store. Use Brew to update your command lines, Brew upgrade. And then we're going to use the Brew bundle command to dump out, to create a Brew file of everything we've installed. And this will include everything we've installed on the command line and everything we've installed from the Mac App Store, thanks to Moss. Moss is a really great utility for that. So Moss List will list all of the programs I've installed from the App Store. And by the way, there's something interesting in this listing. Notice it has a number in front of the name of the app. There's also an app version. That number is specific to this version of this application. That's, in fact, what Moss uses to reinstall the application. It does it by number. So this is a list of all the things I've installed. You might want to update all of those things. So that's Moss upgrade, M-A-S upgrade, just as Brew upgrade. Now, once we've done all that, I've already done all that, I'm going to do Brew, and this is the key command here. We showed this when we talked about Brew file, Brew bundle dump, which is going to dump out a list of everything I've installed. Some of the command line switches like dash dash all, dash dash force, that will overwrite it. And then this is what I really like, dash dash description. This will run very quickly because all it's really doing is making a text file. Let's take a look at that Brew file. We're going to keep that Brew file around, by the way. Oh, boy. Okay, pretend I did that. Now I'm going to cat the Brew file. And we're going to keep this Brew file around. And this is actually something we'll want to copy maybe to our data drive if we have a separate data partition. This shows everything you've installed. And it actually has the command to reinstall it built in. So when we install our new system, we're going to install Brew. You'll have to do that manually, but then we'll be able to use the Brew file to restore and reinstall everything we've installed from the command line and from the Mac App Store. So that's going to save us a lot of time. That's a really useful command. We also want to know about applications we've installed manually from websites downloaded by hand. To do that, there's no way that I know of, no good way that I know of to automatically reinstall those, and probably you don't want to. Just as we're going to do with the Brew file, we might want to go through our Brew file and take out any applications we don't want to reinstall. Let's make a list of all the applications we have installed here on our system. And this is just a simple command line. LS, which is the directory listing, dash LA. And there's two different places applications are stored. There's the applications for the entire system, that's slash applications. And then we're going to do it again for applications that are in my local applications folder. I'm just going to call this a text file called installed.txt. So this is going to, if I cat installed.txt, I'll see this is a list, just a directory listing of everything I've gotten installed. This is not automatable like the Brew file is, but at least I have a list of everything I have installed. And again, I might want to go through this list and edit out a few of the things. I'm not sure I want to reinstall everything that's here, but at least I know what I had installed. You might want to do the same exact command. Instead of writing it to install text, we're going to add it to install text, and I'm going to add this tilde here that says, let me list out the applications that are local to my user ID. In fact, if I cat this again, you'll see there's a second section added. And this is stuff that's just in my user ID, the Brave browser apps, the Chrome apps. And for some reason, Synology NoteStation, instead of installing in the applications folder, has installed in my local folder. You do want to do that because there are a few maybe applications you've installed that for some reason go into your user applications folder. So now we have a text file listing all the installed applications. So just to recap, we've got a full inventory now. We've used a Brewfile to create a listing of all the command line apps, all the App Store apps, and we've just done this simple text command to make a file with all of the other apps we installed manually. We're going to keep those all somewhere safe, put them on a USB key, maybe put it on your data directory if that's not going to get overwritten, synchronize it, that kind of thing. Now, there's one other thing I do, and I'm going to mention this. I don't know if you have been watching all of our Hands on Mac, but a couple of episodes ago, episode 26, I talked about a program called SyncThing. I like to keep my configuration files synchronized between all my machines. I don't want to put those configuration files, sometimes they're called dot files, I don't want to keep, because they often begin with a period, I don't want to keep those in a public space because they may contain things like email passwords, private keys for GPG or SSH. I want to keep those somewhere safe. Perhaps you'll zip them up and password protect them and put them on iCloud. I use SyncThing for this because SyncThing doesn't put it on the cloud. It just copies my settings to each Macintosh. And you can decide whether you want to have the Macintosh automatically incorporate those settings or you want to just keep them there for safekeeping. I actually do have it automatically incorporated. So let me show you what I do with SyncThing. SyncThing creates a default folder, the source folder. I've renamed that to Sync. So if I go to CD Sync, this is a folder that I'm synchronizing. And notice, by the way, you're going to see some things you see that look kind of familiar. There's my brew file. I've synchronized that. Here's my dot files. And even here's my list of installed apps. I synchronized that. I also synchronized my SSH folder. There's other things I synchronize with SyncThing to keep track of them. Let's go into the dot files folder. That's actually a folder. Command line tools usually use, they're hidden files. I'll list them all. So command line programs usually save their settings in something called a dot file. What I've done is I've taken those dot files and I've put them in this synced directory. These are things like my Emacs settings, my GNU Privacy Guard keys, my settings for my IRC client, IRSSI, for my terminal program, Kitty, and so forth. These are kept synchronized, and I actually have a little program, you can see it right here, called install.sh. Install.sh, I run when I'm installing a new system, will automatically symlink these individual folders, like GNUPG, into my home directory, so it renames it .gnupg, and then changes made here in the sync folder automatically are changes to this Macintosh. That's because I want to keep the settings in sync across all my Macintosh computers. So this is a shell script I use. Anything beginning with a pound sign or a number of pound signs is a comment. You could ignore those. I'm going to create three variables. One is the dir variable. This is the directory where my dot files are stored. Actually, this is out of date. It would be /sync/dot files. I'll modify that. This is the directory where I'm going to put my old dot files, just to back them up, .files_old. And this is a list of folders or dot files that I'm going to link to. So the way this script works, and this is kind of a black diamond tip, but for people who like to do shell scripting, just to show real quickly, it's going to make a directory in my root directory called oldir, and then it's going to copy for every file in this variable list files, It's going to copy that file in the root directory, that dot file. Notice I add a dot to the file name, into the dot files old folder. So it's moving my settings into dot files old. And then it's doing a symbolic link. This is actually the most important, really the only command in this shell script that does anything. It's making a symbolic link to the file in the dot files folder, my synchronized dot file, to my home directory. And I notice I've prepended a dot to that file name. So it's actually, for instance, with config, it's going to make a symbolic link to the folder config in my sync directory named .config in my home directory. From the point of view of the operating system, that symbolic link is identical to the folder stored in the sync directory. And because it's in the sync directory, sync thing copies any changes. If I change my Emacs configuration here, for instance, copies those changes to all my other Macintosh's dot files. This is a little risky. You should be careful doing this because changes made on one machine will propagate to all the machines thanks to sync thing. But that's how I like to do it because I want all my machines to be identical. So having created this backup of my dot files, backup of my application support folder, I now have pretty much all the settings for my existing Catalina install. I've put those aside, and now I'm ready to wipe my hard drive. I know, this is the scary part. Wipe my hard drive and install Big Sur. And that's what we're going to do on the next episode of Hands on Mac. So just to recap, our inventory is pretty simple if you've been using Brew and Moss. Otherwise, you're somehow going to want to make a list of all the applications you've installed on your machine. Ideally, this would be a list that you can use to automatically reinstall them. And in some cases, you can. In some cases, you're going to be doing some manual installing. And you might even want to, before you install Big Sur, go through those lists and edit out, delete, or comment out anything you don't want to reinstall. It's a chance for us to rethink, well, what applications do I really need? And my advice is always install the fewest applications you know you need. Only install the applications you know you'll be using tomorrow. And anything you won't be using for the next few weeks, well, we'll install that in a few weeks, if we ever do use it. The idea is to really strip down the number of apps. There's a few reasons to do this. Of course, saving disk space is one. Disk space is not at a premium as much anymore. The real reason is every app you install on an operating system, on a computer, could be a potential security problem if that app has security exploits, can add compatibility issues if it doesn't work quite right, maybe make Big Sur not as reliable. So you really want to keep your system as simple as possible. And that's what this episode is a chance to do. Take inventory of everything you've got. Eliminate everything you don't need so that next week when we install Big Sur, it will all be as clean and simple as possible. All right. I hope I haven't confused you. There's some pro tips in there. But this is what I like to do so that I'll be ready to, as quickly as possible, get up and running with a clean install. That's next week. Our show today brought to you by Peak Design. I am such a Peak Design fan. They've just launched their 10th campaign. It's called Mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, by Peak Design. It's an ecosystem of cases, mounts, and accessories that make your phone a better tool for everything you do. It even works with the new iPhone 12 MagSafe system. These accessories use something they call Slim Link. It's been added to their new everyday phone case. When paired with your mobile device, it connects with accessories like, well, a wallet with a built-in kickstand and a machined aluminum tripod and so much more. I bought them all. To learn more about the Mobile by Peak Design campaign and all the other amazing products from Peak Design, go to peakdesign.com/twit. Support Peak Design by visiting peakdesign.com/twit. Well, we're slowly getting to Big Sur. Episode 4 is in the can. There's one more next week. What you should do to install a brand new operating system on your Mac. I'm Leo Laporte. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time on Hands on Mac.
One more twit? Well, check out Hands on iOS, twit.tv/HOI, where I teach you all about iPhones, iPads, AirPods, Apple Watches, and so much more. If you want to get the most out of your device, then you got to check out Hands on iOS, twit.tv/HOI.